much taller than this. I'd like to thank, first of all, Mr. Phil Rosen and the ACT organization for inviting me to come speak. I'd like to thank OE for hosting the event, and we appreciate the presence of Rabbi Kaufman and Rabbi Luban. I'd like to begin with an interesting observation. For those Jews who are committed to living a halachic lifestyle, so we would never think twice about putting a cheeseburger into our mouth. Who? Kosher. No question. We never think twice about flipping lights off and on Shabbos. It's no question. So then why is it, if we see somebody doing something that perhaps could be interpreted in a negative way, why is it that we're not automatically don the kafsachus? Just like kashrus is not, it's a no-brainer. Shabbos. But don the kafsachus is also mitzvah d'oraisa. So I just wanted to show you that if we please, we have the source sheets in front of you. If you just look at the very first opening source, it's the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. Lo sasu avil b'mishpat, don't pervert judgment. Lo sisa p'nei dal, v'lo sedar p'nei gadol. B'tzedek tishpot amisecha. B'tzedek tishpot amisecha. Mitzvah d'oraisa, which the Chor is discussing, the judges have to not show favoritism to the rich, to the poor. But Rashi explains in source number two, b'tzedek tishpot amisecha kimashmo. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa to judge everyone favorably. The Chafetz Chaim explains this. So what if you have a person who's a beinoni, a regular person? So they do something that could go either way. So you have to interpret it in a positive way. If you have a Talmud Chacham who does something that perhaps even looks like negative, so not only do you have to judge it 50-50, you have to be down the kafsachus and say, no, he didn't do anything wrong. But why is it that we don't automatically make that presentation, where some things are just not even on the radar? Why is it that Dan Lekav Zechus is not exactly so quick to jump to the thing? So it's entirely appropriate that discussing this topic of Dan Lekav Zechus, that we're learning about it tonight. Matzi Shabbos, Parshas Chayisora. The Sforim bring down that when a tzaddik passes away, that all the kochos that they had for their entire life come to them at that moment. That everything that tzaddik worked on and was part of their essence, the mahus of that individual, it comes and it's with them. Parenthetically, that's why you can understand why when Elisha asks Eliyahu to have pishnayim, to get a double portion, he says, if you're with me at the time of Misa, if you're with me at that time when all of my life's accomplishments are coming with me, then I can give to you. But if you're not, then I can't pass it on. So in this morning's Kriya, we read about the Petira of Avram Avinu. So the kochos of Avram Avinu are with us now as we continue. So if you look on source 3, it tells us what exactly is Avram Avinu's koach. Kol mi sheish b'yadav shlosh yedvarim halal, mi talmidav shel Avram Avinu. We are the talmidim of Avram, an ayin tova. An ayin tova, to look at the good in things. That's the koach that Avram Avinu bequeaths to us, his children. To us as talmidim, to look at things in the right way. In a good way. And everybody wants to be looked at in a positive manner. Everybody wants to be judged favorably, to be given that benefit of the doubt. Avraham Avinu teaches us to look at things in a positive way. But sometimes it's hard for us to do that. You know, if you're driving in a car, so anybody that goes slow and you doesn't deserve to be on the road, and anybody who's driving faster than you, right, is a meshugana, right? It's okay, so we schlep that narishkeit into our religious lives as well. And anybody who's to the left of me, will there not be courses? And anybody who's to the right and they're for front, then I can't learn from them anyway. But I'm right. I'm fine. It's just everyone else that I have to like try and work out. But the problem is that we don't look at the beautiful spectrum within Klal Yisrael. I'm talking about those who committed to halacha, that we have to understand that it's not necessary that everybody looks like me, that everybody thinks like me, that everyone serves Hashem in the exact same way that I do. Klal Yisrael is a spectrum. And there's a very large box and a very large lifestyles that fit within the framework of the Shulchan Aruch. I'm not talking about those Jews who have not yet committed to the halacha. For those, it's very easy to be down the kaf zechus. Rubo kekulo, the majority of them were not given a proper Torah education. And what they were given, they were told things that are not correct. So it's very easy to judge them with the kaf zechus. What about the people who don't daven in my shul? Who don't dress like me? How can I down them? I'm right. Right? And some people go fast in davening, some people go slow in davening. Oh, there they fly through davening, and there it takes 2 hours of shacharis. I'm right. I daven the exact amount of time it should take everyone else to. And when they don't, so then I look at them, I don't have that ayin tova. But the first thing we have to realize is explained by the Tzvi Meir. Hashem loves diversity. Hashem loves Jews of all different shaykh. You know, the beautiful things, those of Zoche to make minyanim in Eretz Yisrael. So you go to a minyan by the coastal and everybody's there. Everyone's there. Davening gets the same ashrei. Pronunciation might be a little bit different, but take a snapshot and look at who's at that minyan. You find Jews wearing coats from the 18th century. You find beautiful Jews wearing a kippah, surgah, sandalim, and everyone's there together. Because it's an achdus. And that's the beauty of Yiddishkeit, is when all different stripes come together, that harmony creates a beautiful synthesis. If everybody was the same, so that'd be kind of boring. It'd be kind of boring. You know, when you're taking a drive, now all the leaves are gone, but if you're taking a drive a month ago, and you see the leaves, green, and the oranges, and the yellows, and the reds, and it's so beautiful to look at. If everything was the same color, if everything looked the same way, that's nice. Like when you have a symphony. So you have all the different elements coming together. You have the woodwinds and the brass, and you have the keyboard, and you have the percussion. Everything comes together, and it's a symphony. Klal Yisrael is a symphony. But the problem is, if we're not Dan Lekav Zuchus, we think that my way is the only way. And if they're not like me, then that's not really Avodas Hashem. For those who are sitting learning in Kola, why aren't they doing more Chesed? And for those who are doing Chesed all the time, why aren't they opening up a Sefer? Why aren't you like me? You don't have to be like you. But that's the first thing we do. It's that Ayin Tova, that Koch of Avram Avinu. Sometimes, it's a small mindness. It's a Pitui Halev. It's that we forget that Hashem loves this. And we think, okay, it's a B'dievid, like there has to be different types of Jews. No. It's a Lechad Chila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Avodas Hashem. There are 12 different Shvatim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants different methods of Avodas Hashem. But the first thing we need to realize, that's exactly what it is. It's Avodas Hashem. And the way I serve Hashem doesn't have to be the way my neighbor does, or the way my friends do, or the way they do in this yeshiva, or in that yeshiva, or in this community. But sometimes we just like to group things together. Oh yeah, that's how they do things over there. Oh yeah, that's how that shul is. Or that particular rabbi's mahalach. But that's the first thing we need to work on. So, being down the kav zechus, it sounds like, you know, I have this mitzvah d'oraisa. I have to do it. I know the truth about this person, because I see what they're doing. It's wrong, but it's okay, so I have to do some sort of like mental gymnastics in my head to try and down the kav zechus and spin it and make it seem like... Okay, I'll make up some crazy story in my mind. I'll try and like work out a way of being judging this person favorably. So I wanted to share a story. My wife this week was at a Rebbetzin's convention, and Dr. Pelkovitz was speaking. So he told a story about a parlor meeting he was at. And it's for, you know, young men who not only were off the derech, were beyond the derech. And at the meeting when he's speaking, he's giving his speech, and he notices in the audience there's a young man sitting there with a yarmulke, and he has a nose ring. That's a little piercing. The guy has a ring in his nose. So, okay. So afterwards, he's done with his speech. He starts talking. He figures maybe, you know, someone schlepped him along. Maybe to go hear Dr. Pelkovitz speak. Maybe he can talk to the kid, make a connection with him. So he comes, and he's talking to him afterwards, you know, in the course of the conversation, he says, you know, he comes up. What's with the nose ring? So the kid tells him, I have it in my nose as a physical reminder of any time that I'm tempted to do cocaine, so I have something physical blocking me from that, to prevent me from doing the drugs. So I thought about that. That's unbelievable. You would look at this kid. You'd look at a kid walking down the street with a yarmulke on his head and a ring in his nose, and you think he's so far gone. The guy's off the derech. But the ring is there to keep him on the derech. That very ring, the very thing that we were going to daven him up and put in, ugh, he's gone. He's more on the derech than we are. And that nose ring is the sign that's keeping him on the derech. But what would we think, honestly? We see him walking down the street, right? Rare to now, we see a kid with a yarmulke and a nose ring. So what thoughts would go through our head? Why aren't we so quick to don the kav zechus? Why aren't we thinking, that kid's battling a drug addiction? Sounds crazy. Was that the first thought that would come to our minds? But it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Dan Lekav Zechus. Come on. It's too far. It's too far-fetched. It can't be. So let me show you the extent that one has to go. Please look on source number 4. Gemara in Shabbos. Daf Kuf Chav Zayin.
Tana Rabbanim. Hadan chevir l'kaf zechus, dan nosel zechus. If we judge someone favorably, then we become judged favorably. Either by Hashem, some of the commentators explain that our friends will judge us favorably. Umaisa ba'adam echad. There's one person, the Gemara doesn't tell us who it is, Shramigil ha'elyon, he came from the northern Israel, v'nizkar etzel bal habayis echa bedorim shlosh shanim. He hires himself out as a worker for 3 years in the south. Erev Yom Kippurim omer lo, so he comes to his boss on Erev Yom Kippur, tein li schari ve'elech ve'ozones ish tivanayim. Give me my money so I can go home and feed my wife, my children. Omer lo, so the bal habayis, the guy he's working for, says, ein li maos, I have no money. Omelo tainli peros, so then pay me, give me some fruit, give me my wages in fruit. Omelo ainli, I don't have fruit. Tainli carcass, give me land, give me something. Ainli, I don't have land. Tainli behema, give me some animals. Ainli, I don't have. Tainli carcass, sauces, give me some pillows, some clothing. Ainli, I don't have. Hishya kelava och, or he put his bags on over his shoulder. V'holach levesa v'pechi nefesh. He goes home dejected, working 3 years. Ask someone to give me anything, land, animals, pay, nothing. No explanation. La'achar ha'regel, so again, this was Erev Yom Kippur, so after Sukkos, notu bal habayis schar b'yado, the bal habayis came to him with his wages, ve'ima mosi shlosha chamorim, and he had three donkeys, echad shal Michael, ve'echad shal mishte, ve'echad shal minei, megodim. One donkey had the food, one had the drinks, one had all the desserts, the delicacies. V'holach lo lebeso, when he goes to his house, and after they ate and drank, he pays him up the wages. Amrulo, so the boss says to him, what were you thinking when I told you I didn't have any money? Samariti says, maybe you got a good business deal. Right? You needed all your liquid assets, you had to get rid of them. What were you thinking when I told you I couldn't give you any animals? Samarti Shema Muskaris Biada Khairim. Maybe they're rented out to others right now. Bishasha Marti Li Tainli Karka, Bamarti Ainli Karka, Bamehashtani. What were you thinking? I told you I couldn't give you land. Amarti Shema Mukeres Biada Khairim. Maybe it's being leased out. Ubishasha Marti Li Ainli Peros, Bamehashtani. What were you thinking? I didn't have any fruit for you. Amarti Shema Ainli Maseris. Maybe you didn't take your Truman Meiser from it. Ubishasha Marti Ainli Karmic Sauces, Bamehashtani. I didn't have any pillows. Amarti Shema Hikdish Kolachas of the Shemayim. Maybe you're Makdish everything. You donate to the base of Migdish. Amrlo Havoda Kachaya. That's exactly what happened. Everything that you were thinking, that's exactly what happened. What's going on? There was no explanation. Give me money. I'm sorry, I can't because a good business deal came my way. He never said that. All he said was, I don't have. No explanations. And this person was Dan Lekav Suchus. He made up in his mind. So some of them seem pretty realistic. But come on, give me some pillows. Oh, I can't. I gave everything to the base of Migdash. So from here you see the Yisod V'Shor Shavodah says one has to even make up things that might not be logical. You might not think it in your mind that the kid with the nose ring is battling a drug addiction. But it's the truth. And Ruvo Kikulo, the majority of times that we're Don somebody, we're wrong. We don't know the full extent of the story. We think we figured it out, so now I understand why this person's acting in such a way. But we don't know. Who is the punchline? Who was this worker for 3 years? So the Gemara never tells us. Doesn't give us the identity. The She'iltos explains to us that the hero of this story is none other than Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, the Gadol HaTorah, but the Midos are there first. The Midos, we're Dan Lekav Suchus. We're looking to see the good, the Ayin Tov of an Avraham Avinu. And it's not always practical. You might have to make up these stories. What's happening? I'll tell you, Mice, I saw they had the book out in the on the table. What was it called? The Other Side of the Story. So look on page 91 and you'll see the following good story. On page 91... You have to look now. That's okay. That's like this. There was a woman who made her life miserable for her son and for her daughter-in-law. Horrible. She rarely showed any emotion. She was rude to people. And one of her children passed away. At the time of the funeral, she barely showed any emotion.
despite, you know, such a rough and difficult relationship, so the son daily would call his mother to maintain a connection with her. One time he called, or he knocked on the door, apparently there was no answer, so he got very nervous. He called the ambulance, and they came, and there was no anything. They broke down the door, and they saw the woman was collapsed. They rushed her to the hospital, and they found, 80-year-old woman, they found that she had a tumor on her head, on her brain, the size of a grapefruit. Now, this part of the brain was what controlled the personality. And there was a little bit of a discussion, should we operate, should we not operate? They decided, despite the advanced age, they were going to do it. And after the tumor was removed, the woman's personality emerged. The woman who beforehand was never complimenting anybody, nothing good to say, was talking about how wonderful they are. Thank you so much for taking care of me. What a wonderful son I have. What a beautiful daughter-in-law I have. For the first time in her life, the woman was able to grieve for her son who had passed away because her personality was restored to her. This is a true story. But do we think like that? It sounds so crazy, so far-fetched. Do you know why this person's rude? Because there's a medical condition that's preventing them from being nice. It's not even Ola al Hadas. It never even comes up. But it's the truth. And so many times what we think we know, we don't. So before we even dare to be Dan anybody, we have to be Dan Lekav Zechus. There's so many factors that we're just not privileged to. Let's look on source number 5, please. It says, Kach shan rabuseinu b'mida sh'od ha-moided b'os ha-mida modedin lo. The way we judge others is the way that reciprocally we become judged ourselves. Mida k'neged mida. So the Chafetz Chaim, the Gadol Hador, the Chafetz Chaim said, he's very nervous, that if were he to be judged by the strict letter of the law, he's not sure if he ever did any mitzvah totally without any ulterior motives. But if a person is dan l'kav zechus, and we spend our lifetime trying to find the good in others and to spin the situation in a way that can be interpreted positively, so then mida k'neged mida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond. And when we are up for judgment, we will be dan l'kav zechus. So that in itself is a tremendously motivating factor. The Chafetz Chaim is nervous, so I think for those who are not on his level, we have room to be a little bit nervous as well. I had the privilege of working with a very talented individual named Rabbi Dr. Johnny Krug. So he's been involved in professional theater since the early 70s. So he was telling a story at we had a freshman retreat at school. He was telling a story at the home ec around Shabbos Shudas time. And he was explaining, when in the early 70s he got a phone call from a movie scout, the ones who were casting the roles. And there was a film that was going to be filmed with Dustin Hoffman and Laurence Olivier called The Marathon Man. So they needed a stand-in. They needed somebody like to be an extra in a scene. They called him up, would you be interested in doing it? Of course I would, Laurence Olivier, ooh-ah. But the only problem was on Shabbos. Didn't take the gig. He called a good friend of his, a nice Irish actor named Seamus O'Brien. And they did the shoot. It was done on a Shabbos, on a Saturday in Manhattan. The part of the scene was that there was apparently, I've never seen the movie, there's a Hasidic Jew. They had him all in the lavushim and with the beard and with everything. Here's an Irish guy dressed up like a Hasidic Jew. Fine. So after Shabbos is over and after the scene, so Dr. Krug calls him up, his friend Seamus O'Brien says, "Nu, tell me about it. How was the shoot?" It's horrible. It was really, really miserable. What do you mean? Dustin Hoffman? What happened? He says, well, I'll tell you. Here it is, Saturday in Manhattan, and I'm sitting around, I'm in costume, okay, fine. And I had a little time. You know, they didn't need me for an hour, so there I am, sitting on the sidewalk having a cigarette. A Hasidic Jew in Manhattan smoking a cigarette. So he says, Seamus O'Brien says, all of a sudden this old lady comes up to me, slaps the cigarette out of my mouth, starts screaming at me and hitting me. I said, lady, look, I'm an actor, it's a movie, I'm not really, this is not me. She didn't even want to hear it, she starts hitting me. She said, people are crazy. So fine, okay, that was the first thing. He says, that it didn't end there. So we had a half hour lunch break. So Seamus O'Brien doesn't have time to take off all the costume. But he wants to go and get a bite to eat. So believe me, I don't think like Jerusalem 2 is open on a Shabbos. So he goes to the bodega, the malka, right? And he goes and he walks in, orders, I don't know, with a ham and cheese, whatever, right? And the storeman just looks at him. Just looks at him. Says, no, quick, I'm running, a half hour, I gotta go. They're doing it, and all of a sudden, it had like a glass front. So people are walking by the restaurant, everyone's looking at the Hasidic Yid who's ordering the bacon on Shabbos in Manhattan. So he realizes people are staring at him. He's trying to ignore them, but like there's five people staring there, just looking at him. So Seamus O'Brien said he didn't know what to do. So he turned to them and he pulled off the beard. He said, two ladies fainted. So, okay, Dr. Kruger was telling the story off on the whole thing. I said, well, down the cops the chus, right? So I was speaking to Dr. Kruger. He says, but Rabbi Jaffe, did you hear how the story ended? So I got excited. Right? You know, there's an ending? I says, yeah, after I finished telling the story to the freshman, this ninth grade girl came up like hysterically crying. I said, I'm sorry, I thought it was a pretty good story. Like, says, no, you don't understand. The lady who slapped Seamus O'Brien, that was her great-grandmother. And they've been telling this story in the family for four generations about how this great-grandmother saw this Hasidic Jew slap and he made up some crazy story that he's really an actor and they're filming a movie. But it was the truth. It was a reverse Don Lekav Zuchus. Would you ever think you saw a Hasidic Shayid smoking a cigarette on Shabbos in Manhattan and he's some Irish guy named Seamus O'Brien filming a movie with Dustin Hoffman? But it's the truth. That's so far to Don Lekav Zuchus. We don't have to make up such wild stories. We don't have to go so far. But we have to take a step back and think, maybe things aren't the way they seem. Maybe the way they're appearing to me, that's not the reality. I remember I once saw somebody doing a questionable activity on Shabbos, years and years ago. So I saw them do it, and I thought to myself, okay, maybe they were absent that day in yeshiva. Okay. And then a few years later, I saw a very good friend of mine doing the exact same thing. I started thinking to myself, maybe he holds like the Mordechai in the third parak. That's it. And I went through a whole pilpul in my mind to try and justify why my friend was doing this. And it wasn't even until afterwards I realized, one second, it was the exact same action. The first time that I saw somebody do it, I didn't really know them so much, and I thought, okay, look, you know, they don't know, they're wrong. But the second time, it was one of my friends, one of my chaverim. So all of a sudden, down the kafzachus kicked in. And I realized something very important. If we looked at Jews in a loving way, in a friendly way, if we really cared about a fellow Jew, so we would automatically make that step. We wouldn't say, oh, they were absent that day in yeshiva. We would try and find out, why are they acting that way? What's the connect? And really, really, as Rav Palm and other Gedolim have spoken about, all these midos that we have to work on Lashon Hara, and these wonderful campaigns that are going around, and in the Machsom Lefi, and these are wonderful, wonderful things. And Dan Lekav Zechus is something that we need to be working on. But these are all outgrowths. What's the disease? What's the cause of all these things? And it's a lack of Ahavas Yisrael. If we looked at our fellow Jew and we loved them, if we truly cared about them, so how could I speak Lashon Hara about someone I love? How could I not interpret when I see my friend doing something on Shabbos? How could I not interpret it in a positive way? So we have to understand, what's the gorim? What's the cause of all these things? It needs to be working on Ahavas Yisrael. And if we increased our Ahavas Yisrael, then we'd find automatically all these other side topics, such as the Dan Lekav Zechus, would find a way of working themselves out. There's a Yerushalmi, I believe it's located in the Darim, which talks about if a person's cutting something, imagine you're making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, right? So you have your knife in the hand, and you're slicing up the thing, and whoops, you nicked your finger, you nicked your left hand. So would the left hand say to the right hand, how could you do that to me? Pick up the knife and stab it back? It's ridiculous. Right? It's not going to happen. Why not? Because it's the same body. So what does the left hand gain by stabbing back the right hand? It gains nothing. So what does a Jew gain when he speaks against another Jew? What does one Jew gain if they're not Dan Lekav Zechus for another Jew? Absolutely nothing. Klal Yisrael. That's exactly what it is. We're the Klal. We're one entity. We have bodies that separate us, like the Tanya explains. But in essence, we're one unit. So to look down at another Jew, to not be dan l'kaf z'chus, so it's ourselves. We have this like built-in mechanism, like Rav Aaron Kahn explained once. You know those little buoys that stay afloat in the water? So no matter which way you hit it, back and forth, it rights itself up. We're like that. But why don't we do the same for our friends? Whichever way we see them getting hit back and forth, whichever situations we see a fellow Jew doing, why don't we automatically just write it back up? Why don't we find a way to be dan l'kaf z'chus? Let's continue, and I'll show you a fascinating Mishnah. It's on the backside now. Source number 6 is Mishnah in Negoyim. Kol ha-Negoyim Adam Roa chutz minigei atzmo. So the halacha is, the person has a type of growth on their skin, the Kohen has to come, and he has to say, oh look, that's tzaras, or it's not tzaras, so he has to look at it. But you're allowed, a Kohen's allowed to look at the Negoyim, chutz minigei atzmo. You can't look at yourself. So simply, you know, we don't see our own faults. You have a nega, you're going to try and spin things around so that it doesn't come to affect you. That's the classical explanation given by the Bali Musar, that we don't see our own faults. But I want to share with you tonight the interpretation of this Mishnah in the eyes of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. The Baal Shem Tov put a comma into this Mishnah and it changes everything. Says the Baal Shem Tov, let's read it again. Kol ha-negoyim adam roeh chutz, comma, minigei atzmo. Any nega that a person sees chutz outside, you should know that it's minigei atzmo, it's from yourself. Which means anything bad that a person hears or sees, or anything that doesn't look right, that's the mirror to the soul. That a Kodesh Baruch Hu is showing us this event because it's minigei atzmo. Because I have that problem inside of me. If I see somebody yelling at someone else, that means I have a problem with my temper. Maybe not to the same extent, but there's a reason. The Hashkocha process is arranging things that I should be seeing this event because I need to work on myself. If I see something happen, by the Baal Shem Tov, this whole story comes that he was once in Mezhebuzh, and he saw in Mezhebuzh there was a Jew who was Mechalel Shabbos Befarhesia. So the Baal Shem Tov saw this. And the Baal Shem Tov realized, why is Hashem showing me this event? Why is it my mazel that I'm looking right now and seeing this Jew not keeping Shabbos? So he realized it must be that I have inside of me some aspect of Chilul Shabbos. So he thought and he retraced all the events that happened to him that last week, and he realized he wasn't Mechal Shabbos, but he did do something. He asked the Talmud Chacham to perform a task for him that was rather menial. And in the Zohar, so it says that a Talmud Chacham is compared to Shabbos. So the fact that the Baal Shem Tov had asked a Talmud Chacham to do something beneath his dignity for his level, that was Mechalel Shabbos. That he had something inside of himself, and that's what Hashem was showing him. That this person, this event was a mirror so that he'd look back onto himself. The mirror for the soul, that he would see that Hashem wants me to learn something from that. So when we see somebody doing something inappropriate or something that doesn't look right, it's an opportunity and an invitation to look inward, to judge ourselves. It's crazy, come on. Like murder? Like Shabbos has been over for a few hours, but I heard on the news tonight there was a murder. I didn't kill anybody within the last few hours. Why is Hashem showing me this about murder? So when we look at Chazal tell us, you know what a rotzeach is? Anybody who's not mevakir cholim, says the Gemara, is a rotzeach. The Gemara says, anybody who is megale sod chavero, it's the Midrash. The Midrash says, if anybody reveals the secret of a friend, that's a rotzeach. Anybody who embarrasses somebody in public, that's a rotzeach. So we might see these crazy things about murder and we hear on the news, but it's a mirror for ourselves. Were we careful not to embarrass anybody? Were we careful not to reveal someone's secrets? Were we medakdek to perform the mitzvah of bikur cholim? So, what's going on in our lives is a mirror for us to think about this, to be dan l'kaf z'chus, because there's something inside of me. If I'm seeing somebody acting in that way, I need to grow from this. With this idea, this teaching of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh,
I'd like to show you two more sources. On source number 7, the Gemara asks, in Sefer Bamidbar, so Perek Hey is discussing the laws of a Sota, and in Perek Vav it discusses the laws of a Nazir. So what's the Smichus Aparshius? Why does it jump from the topic of a Nazir straight into the topic of a... I'm sorry, from Sota into Nazir. So the Gemara asks this question, source number 7, Rabbi Omer, Lama Nismucha Parshius Nazir LaParshius Sota. Why are they put right next to each other? Loma Lecha, to tell you, Shekol HaRoa Sota B'Kakula, anybody who sees the Sota in her lowly state, Yazir Atzmin HaYayin. So this is a sign to take on the Zirus. Rashi explains, by describing the Nazir in source number 8, Ma'asher Chotal HaNefesh. A Nazir is described as sinning against his Nefesh. Why? So Rabbi Lazar HaKapar Omer Shetzir Asma Min HaYayin, because he didn't have Yayin. So Rabbi Moshe Wolfson Shlita, the Mashkiach of Torah Bedas, asks in his Sefer Imuna Sitecha two questions. The Nazir here took on because he saw that the woman became a Sota. What, and if he hadn't seen it, he wouldn't have believed in such a thing in the Torah? And why does it say that the one who's Chatol HaNefesh by not drinking wine, the Nefesh doesn't get anything out of drinking wine? The goof is what benefits. Your body feels good when you drink wine, the Nefesh doesn't get anything. So why is it that, again, it talks about that he sees it, and then he becomes a Nazir? Well, you had to see it, he didn't believe the Torah had such a thing as an Isha Sota? And then Rashi brings, it's a Gemara, that there's a hate against his Nefesh? So with this teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, we could put it all together. The Nazir is a very spiritual person. Like the Meforshim Nazir is the word Nazir, a person puts a crown upon their head. The Nazir sees an event happening and asks himself, why did Hashem make me see this? Shekol HaRoa Sota, I saw this. Hashem is sending me a message that this idea of a Sota, that a woman who's suspected of adultery, and how did this whole thing happen? Through the Yayin? So it must be I have something in my Neshama that needs to be fixed. It's not a hate against my goof. My goof didn't do anything. But the Nazir realized that a Kodesh Baruch was sending me a message by seeing this Isha Sota, so there's a Yayin as a part of it. I need to fix my Yayin. I'm going to become a Nazir. My Neshama needs a Tikkun. I need to work on myself from this. I'm going to learn. I'm going to grow. It's me. The person outside, that's just the message. That's like a pawn. That's a Kodesh Baruch using them to teach me a lesson. To be down the kav zechus, we have to realize that Hashem is just teaching us and showing us situations. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll take it afterwards, is that okay? You're also a Jaffe, right?
Yeah.
I want to end with one thought. They say over from the Abderav, the Ohev Yisrael, that he was given a koach in Shemayim, that he could fix the whole world. They gave him such an ability. And the Abderav said, I could have, but I realized it was much more difficult to fix myself. I'm going to say it a little bit differently. I want to say that if we would sincerely work on fixing ourselves, then we wouldn't have to worry about the rest of the world. I want to thank everybody for coming. Again, I acknowledge the presence of Rabbi Luban. I thank the ACT organization. I wish everybody a good vach.